Hey, Ecoheroes, when you bite into an apple, you think you're just eating an apple, right? Wrong. If your apple is a conventionally grown apple, it's most likely come with a side serving of fries. And by fries, I mean chemical residues such as pesticides and herbicides. Today, we're chatting about chemical residues in fruit and vegetables and what you can do to reduce your exposure. Welcome to the EcoChat podcast. I'm your host, Laura Trotter, and I'm here to show you how you can create an ecoceptional life you love without compromising your lifestyle. Tune in for inspiring interviews with real-life eco-heroes, plus my own theories, thoughts, and tips for sustainable living. I'm all about making green mainstream, and I'd love to help you on your eco journey. So let's get started. Such as pesticides, antibiotics, and even hormones are used in farming to boost production and to ensure adequate food for a growing human population. The use of pesticides can dramatically increase crop production. However, pesticides are also toxic chemicals designed to kill agricultural pests, and some can cause problems if they're consumed by humans in large amounts. So, what sort of pesticides are we talking about here? Well, the type of pesticides used largely includes insecticides and fungicides, but also includes herbicides and synergists, which are basically chemicals which block the ability of the target organism to break down the pesticide. So, the amount of pesticide residue in fruit and vegetables depends on many factors, including the type and amount of pesticide used, the amount of rain, wind, and sunshine that fell on the crop, and the type of processing that the food undergoes, such as storage time, washing, or even peeling. For most pesticides, a minimum time between spraying and harvesting of produce is set to ensure safe food. Now, while maximum limits for safe human consumption of pesticide residue includes wide safety margins, past experience has shown that sometimes a pesticide that is thought to be safe for human consumption has been proven otherwise. Now, DDT, which is dichlorodiphenyl trichloroethane, is the most obvious example here. Now, DDT was widely used from the late 1940s as an agricultural insecticide. It's an extremely persistent organic pollutant that accumulates up the food chain with disastrous effects. Depending on conditions, its soil half-life can range from 22 days to 30 years. It was the impact of DDT on bird populations in particular that led Rachel Carson to write A Silent Spring. And this book was credited with starting the environmental movement and shining a spotlight on the widespread use of DDT. And I actually read this book 21 years ago this year. I read it in my first year of university when I was studying environmental engineering. And it's a really interesting book because Rachel talks about this silent spring. It was basically a spring that had no noise. It was like the birds weren't tweeting in the forests. And yeah, she just really noticed this absence of bird song. And that was largely caused by the thinning of their eggshells by the DDT. So basically the bird chicks couldn't hatch because the eggs weren't strong enough. I think Rachel was an ecologist, and anyway, she shone the light on DDT and it started not just the environmental movement as a whole, but the movement to actually get rid of DDT. And it's now recognized as an endocrine disruptor and it's considered likely to be a human carcinogen. But despite being banned in the United States from 1972 and in Australia from 1987, DDT can still be found in fat deposits of humans around the globe. So that's just one example of an insecticide in that instance that was thought to be safe but was proven otherwise. So who knows, there may be some pesticides, insecticides, herbicides used these days that may not be as toxic as DDT, but they may not be too far off it you know, we may not just know this yet. So how to remove chemical toxins from fresh produce? So now that you're well aware that fruit and veggies produced commercially may still contain pesticide residues when you purchase them, you may be keen to know how you can best reduce the amount of chemical residues that you consume. So I've identified 5 ways to reduce chemical toxins in fresh fruit and vegetable produce, and they are: number 1, a salt wash. So according to the Center for Science and the Environment, washing fruits and vegetables with just a 2% of salt water will remove most of the contact pesticide residues normally found on the surfaces of fruit and vegetables. Number 2, instead of salt, you can use vinegar. So while it's been reported that in some cases just washing fresh produce in water alone can remove up to 80% of pesticides, this percentage can increase again with a vinegar soak. To do this, you just soak your fruit and vegetables in a solution of 10% white vinegar and 90% water for 15 to 20 minutes and then rinse thoroughly in fresh water. Number 3, you can use a veggie and fruit scrub cloth. So an alternative to soaking your fresh produce is to use one of these cloths to physically remove dirt, pesticides, bacteria and wax coatings. So cloths such as a two-sided Norwex vegetable and fruit scrub cloth use water and microfiber technology to remove chemical residues from the surface of produce. Number 4 is to peel fruit and vegetables. Now this is an efficient way to remove residues from the surface. However, this technique is obviously not applicable for a produce that's not typically peeled before consumption, such as spinach, eggplants, and capsicum. And lastly, number 5, you should try and eat organic. Of course, this is the best way to reduce your consumption of pesticide residues in fruit and vegetables. And yeah, buy organic varieties that are grown without chemicals, or even better, try and grow your own. Sadly, organic produce is generally more expensive than conventional produce, and this is a very real barrier preventing more and more people from purchasing organic. But thankfully, the Environmental Working Group in the USA has produced 2 lists that help consumers prioritize which fruit and vegetables to buy organic. So they're called the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15. And these lists were originally compiled from data from the US Department of Agriculture and the US Food and Drug Administration in around about 2013. And they looked at over 30,000 produce samples and analysed that. But this list has just been recently updated again for 2016. So when purchasing fruit and vegetables, aim to purchase organic for the varieties on the Dirty Dozen list, as these are typically the most contaminated by pesticide residues. Now, I've got an awesome freebie for you, and it's basically a fridge memo that you can print out and put on your fridge. And this memo has the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15, so you've got a reminder right in front of you which fruit and veg to prioritize organic and which ones to not be as, I guess, religious or perfectionist about. So head to Laura Trotta, that's LauraTrotta.com/Dirty Dozen, and that's all one word, to get your freebie there. Just enter your details and it will be emailed to you immediately. Okay, so should you avoid the Dirty Dozen? The Dirty Dozen list, it doesn't imply that you should avoid these fruit and vegetables, just that you should prioritize eating organic for these varieties. Avoiding them entirely isn't the answer, as a healthy diet relies on the consumption of a variety of fresh produce. So whole foods, including fresh fruit and vegetables, are always a better choice than processed foods. And of course, committing to cooking whole foods from scratch, together with smart and savvy meal planning, home gardening, and food preservations, can largely offset the cost of organic food purchases. And indeed, it's these principles, they're actually core components in my new program that I've been crafting away behind the scenes, and I'm aiming to release in mid-2016. And for the first time ever, I'm going to let you know what it's called. It's actually called Self-Sufficiency in the Suburbs. And I'll be telling you a lot more about this exciting project very, very soon. But In the meantime, head to lauratrotter.com/dirtydozen to download your free fridge memo to help you prioritize which produce to eat organic. And for the varieties that you choose to not eat organic at the moment, just be mindful of the different ways that I've talked about in this episode on how to remove some of those toxins from fresh produce. So wrapping them up again, that was with a salt wash, a vinegar soak, you can just even use your kitchen sink for that, a veggie and fruit scrub cloth, peeling the fruit and vegetables, or of course, eating organic or growing your own. So, with that in mind, head on out there, download your list of Dirty Dozen and Clean 15, and keep on doing your best to make green mainstream. I'll catch you later. Thanks for listening to the EcoChat podcast. I'm Laura Trotter. If you enjoyed this episode, I'd love you to subscribe, share with your friends, and leave a review in iTunes. And if you're keen to continue the conversation, head on over to my website, lauratrotter.com, where you can also pick up your free copy of my e-guide, 11 Steps to Ecofy Your Home and Your Life. Catch you there.